Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're with me on Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. Good Friday morning, everybody. Made it to the end of the week. Financial freedom does not depend on your age. That was a very uplifting theme of an insurance expo event organized by CIMB. But not to worry if you missed it. We have one of the strongest voices at the expo joining us live. Raymond Tan Xiaolung is head of wealth management and preferred banking at CIMB Singapore. How is Friday looking, Raymond? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Michelle. Thanks for having me here.
All right, I hear at the expo you met a pair of siblings, a brother and a sister. They were financial influencers, and they're basically sharing with the world their journey to a pot of gold. $1 million, I understand, is the goal. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And it was really, really interesting that, you know, given their current age, you know, they've set themselves quite an ambitious goal, and they're sharing this on social media. So we thought that it'd be really, really interesting for them to share some of those experiences with the attendees at Insure Expo. So we had very, very great chat at that session.
So you, as head of wealth management, yeah, what did you take away from this chat? You know, these two, they're on TikTok, they're on Instagram, they have 45,000 followers. What stood out for you about how they look at money?
Well, you know, clearly they shared that they've started out quite nicely. We talked a bit about, you know, sandwich generation, you know, and that's where some of us have obligations, you know, towards certain our dependents. You know, we bring up kids, but at the same time we also have parents to look after. So they shared that, you know, at least they don't have such obligations at the moment, which is why they can focus right on investments. And I think one key takeaway there is that, you know, you should start while you're young, right? So they started while they're young, you know, before some of these obligations kick in, but they did not rule out the possibility that some of these, right, will come forth later in their life, right? So the wonderful thing, we talk about, you know, issues about the power of compounding as well, right? And so, you know, the importance of starting early is very important. Now, Singapore is a fairly affluent society. We are a country of savers, right? Based on our Department of Statistics data, we know that about we have a savings rate of 35%, right? And it's growing. So it's something that we're all pretty good at, but probably can be better, right? And I think that's certainly one key takeaway. I think another one, right, was the importance of diversification. You know, I don't want to go into too much details here, but, you know, they did share that they had made some not so good investments, mm-hmm, right? And along the lines of crypto, but the great thing is that they diversified, right? And when you do that, right, you are better able to cushion shocks that come, right? And that's part and parcel of the whole investment experience.
Well, I love the open conversations at this particular expo, but I also like the theme. It's so uplifting. Financial freedom does not depend on your age. Yes, it's good if you start young, but, you know, you can get there, the end, financial freedom, if that's what you're aiming for, at any age. And I hope we can bring that spirit into today's conversation. So first up, Raymond, how do you define financial freedom?
Well, that's quite a tricky question. I'll try to answer. Now, if you ask Google, you know, or ChatGPT, I think the answer you'll get will be, you know, somewhere along the lines of, you know, being able to live the lifestyle you want, or, you know, having enough resources to live life on your own terms without being constrained by financial limitations, right? But why I say it's a little bit difficult is that when you think harder about this issue, then other questions potentially start to come up. Like, for example, what exactly is the lifestyle that I want when I retire? Am I prepared to live a simpler life, eat out, travel less often? Which some people would say, you know, that's basically a downgrade of lifestyle. Or at the other extreme, you know, would I want to live better in my golden years? So, you know, and then when I met, you know, these two scenarios back to financial freedom or definition of financial freedom, then I think we end up having maybe perhaps a baseline level of financial freedom, but also an aspirational level. And the reality is that most of us will end up somewhere in between these two levels, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think the good news for Singaporeans is that we have a scheme called CPF Life, right, which helps to bring us closer to that baseline retirement level of needs. It's very affordable. It gives us a payout for as long as we live. And there are three broad options or plans, right, to choose from, which cater to different preferences in terms of payout. So you can't really go wrong with CPF Life, but it's important that we read up, you know, on what these three plans are before we retire to determine which is best for us. And you know, I think my last point on financial freedom is that, you know, with all this in place, we also need to put it in proper context. For example, you know, if you are one who feels that, you know, very happy and contented just to be surrounded by loved ones and spending time with family and friends after retirement, then money is really just there to take care of daily necessities, right? Now, if we're not so lucky, then we need to use money to buy happiness. You know, but some individuals derive joy also, you know, from travel, shopping, or fine dining. So that takes a bigger toll in terms of having financial preparedness. So I guess there's no one-size-fits-all answer to this question, but, you know, I hope I, you know, laid out, you know, all the different possibilities here. And, you know, a lot of these principles go back to the importance of planning early. It's great that we have a government scheme, CPF Life, that helps also to provide a baseline. But preparedness is all very,
so
very important.
It very much depends on you. Some people view financial freedom as the ability to not have to work for a living, depend off their portfolio while they are in good spirits, in good health, to be able to do what they want to do. Others see financial freedom as maybe hitting a certain number, as we talked earlier a little bit about the Weeblings and their goal of $1 million. You know, that can be very motivating for some people. So different approaches, of course, to the concept of financial freedom. If we take a step back, what do you think are some concrete steps that we can take towards our goals, no matter what they might be, and how we define financial freedom? What's some concrete steps we can take today, particularly in this economic scenario?
Well, you know, there are basically some quite clear steps, right, involved. And you know, it's good to you know, speak to your financial advisor about your financial goals. It's always good to track and analyze your spending, you know, work on budgets, create a budget and, you know, follow that, you know, pay off debt, especially expensive debt. We know that a lot of us have mortgage loans, but those are fairly low cost, right? But credit card debt, for example, is something that you want to minimize, right? Even though sometimes it's really, really necessary, right? And start investing early, right? And create multiple income streams, right? Passive income in your later years will come in very, very handy. And it's very, very important to save for the future, like you know, what we spoke about earlier. Now, but, you know, but you need some structure here, right? And so for those, you know, who need some guidance, right? There is the basic financial planning guide, right? That's published by the MES, and that's a wonderful starting point. It's tailored, right, to different needs. So, for example, if you are a working adult and you're supporting your own family as well as elderly parents, then, you know, it provides a framework as well as some basic rules of thumb. For example, you know, that you should set aside at least 3 to 6 months worth of expenses, right? And ensure that, you know, you have sufficient insurance protection and, you know, you're familiarized with the national schemes such as MediShield, CareShield, ElderShield. Now, it goes into a little bit more detail in terms of even the types of insurance protection that you should look at, you know, life, critical illness, hospitalization, etc. And that's all very, very simply explained on their fact sheet. There are also guidelines on, you know, what's the maximum you should you should spend on insurance protection, right? Which is 15% of your take-home pay. But at the same time, tells you that you should be investing at least 10% of your take-home pay. So these are all very, very useful rules of thumb to help you get kick-started, and you can do almost an immediate reflection in terms of what you're doing right now and take stock of where you are and, you know, start your retirement planning, you know, take actions, you know, with regards to, you know, doing up a will, CPF nominations, etc. So that guide is really, really powerful in getting everything kick-started, so to speak.
I'm glad you mentioned that guide. It's all of 4 pages. It also includes Money Sense's budget calculator, which is free, to help you figure out, you know, what your emergency fund coverage should be like, coverage for disability, critical illness, and all in QR code format as well. Really well laid out. I'm going to put that guide on my Instagram page, Raymond. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
People need to have access to it. In the meantime, maybe we could walk through what you know at CIMB about Singaporeans' habits when it comes to saving and investing so far.
We interact with a lot of clients, you know, in our day-to-day business. As I mentioned earlier, Singaporeans definitely, we're a nation of savers. But if I, you know, make reference to a Singlife Financial Freedom Index from 2023, which surveyed 3,000 respondents between the ages of 18 and 65. Now, most respondents identify themselves as everyday consumers, you know, who believe they can manage their daily necessities and having, you know, less than 30% of income left after covering expenses. But sadly, 3 in 10 of them feel financially free, right? Which means that a majority feel that they're still, you know, working towards that goal. And there is also a low level of confidence in having alternative streams of income on top of their main income source, right? And so, you know, we talked briefly about passive income earlier, but, you know, one very, very common source could be, you know, income from investments or from rental property, for example, right? So these are important building blocks that we need to strive towards. Another interesting finding is that the median monthly savings amount was about 1,733, which suggests that we would, you know, need to work for about 27.3 years to accumulate, you know, enough savings to achieve this financial freedom. So I think the key takeaway is that, you know, Singaporeans are generally a sensible bunch. We are generally good savers. We try to manage our finances fairly well. But most of us also feel that we are probably some distance away from financial freedom. And then, you know, if I also throw in high inflation concerns into the mix, and right, that's quite relevant right now, right? Mm-hmm. Then this really just points to the need, right, for good financial practices and preparedness.
So did you say that most of us save about 1,700 per month? That's what the Singlife Financial Freedom Index found?
Yes, that's correct.
And then you multiplied it by a certain number of years for us to reach what again? What figure would that be?
Well, if you multiply it out, you know, that'd be close to a figure of about half a million. But of course, you know, we factor in the effects of compounding as well.
In about 27 years, you said.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, the ballpark figure would be that, you know, you need to save for about 27 years to achieve this financial freedom. But of course, what we shared earlier, it varies from individuals, among individuals, you know, depending on where they find, you know, how they define financial freedom and what their baseline is.
Okay, so apparently when you looked at the findings of the Singlife Financial Freedom Index, you could see 3 clear groups in Singapore based on their current levels of, I suppose, either whether they're at financial freedom or they're working towards financial freedom. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
And what do you read from this?
Well, I think that if you're already there, I think the wonderful thing is that, you know, you then whatever you can work with less pressure, right? To knowing that you've already achieved a lot of your goals, mm-hmm. and so whatever you're achieving is extra, and you know, and perhaps you're moving towards the aspirational level, which you know, which we talked about earlier. But I think based on that survey, it was, you know, estimated that less than 30%, right, of people are in this fortunate position. So I think if you're not there yet, and that that would account for the most of us, then I think it's important to be disciplined in making a plan towards these goals. What they found is that most people are working towards it, but I suspect we don't review our plans. We don't do this on a very, very diligent basis. Mm-hmm. We save. Mm-hmm. But I suspect also, and this is from my own experience, people save but they don't invest, yes. Right? So what you end up with is out proportion amount of money just sitting in possibly a low yielding savings account or a fixed deposit, with insufficient money that's being invested to earn coupons or dividends, which then gives you higher compounding rates and then and bring you closer right to your goal, which then of financial freedom. And so I think that's something that people should really pay a bit more attention to. If you don't have the time, then speak to a financial advisor about it, because they are in a position to help you.
Fantastic. I think I completely agree with you that a lot of people have this habit of saving here in Singapore. It's sort of ingrained in us from a very young age. But then the next step of what to do with that money, put it actively to use, may not be at a level of familiarity that we see, for example, in Hong Kong, where you could walk into a fruit market, and the fruit seller would be able to tell you what she's been investing in for the last 30 years.
Right.
Very well known there, this concept. How does CIMB connect people to solutions to meet different life needs? First of all, maybe we can back up. Is CIMB a bank? What does it do?
Right. So, at CIMB, we really believe that, we can fulfill a role as a trusted financial advisor. And we look at things from, our customers' perspective. Now, one thing that's very unique is that we adopt an open architecture approach, right, at CIMB Singapore, which allows us to offer customers more choices and tailored solutions, right, across different life stages. Just as an example, the annual premiums for a term plan, right, can vary by up to 30% among the various insurers, right? But obviously, pricing is just one piece of the puzzle. Customers may want access to different insurers for diversification purposes or other considerations such as, perceived value, appreciation, etc. So our platform caters to these needs, because we don't just work with one partner. So what we try to do is we try to prioritize customers' interests, and they can see that we're doing that. And we've seen very, very strong growth, right, in our bank assurance business, over the last 2 years. And to us, this really reaffirms, the value that customers place, on our approach.
So you work with 5 major insurers to provide solutions for your customers. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. We work with Singlife, Income, AIA, Manulife, as well as Tokio Marine Insurance.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And we talked about investments. To what extent do you think insurance must be part of people's journeys through reaching financial freedom?
Insurance definitely plays an important role. Of course, I don't want to downplay the importance of investments as well, and maybe I'll touch on that briefly. Now, the key reasons why this is important, maybe 3 key reasons are that, firstly, risk coverage and financial security is number one, right? Now, in this aspect, insurance comes in handy as a risk mitigation tool, right? It softens the blow of a financial loss, that you may incur in any unforeseen event, such as death, disability, or hospitalization. So by compensating for the loss that's suffered, right, in such an emergency, insurance policies provide some form of financial security, right? Secondly, it buys you peace of mind, right? So, when you plan and you do regular reviews, you are assured, but it's also not just planning for ourselves as individuals, right, we also need to consider our dependents and our loved ones as well. So that's why holistic planning is important. And once that's in place, you don't have to worry so much, right, about encountering life surprises. Now, one last point, to highlight, however, is that we need to be aware of different plans, right, which cater to different needs. Mm-hmm. So there are a wide array, right, of insurance plans, which cover, the different types of risks that you may face and that you may want to cover. But at the same time, there are also a wide range of investment products that you can consider for wealth enhancement needs. So it's not just insurance plans that fulfill, your financial planning needs. But just for discussion's sake, let's take wealth accumulation and legacy planning as an example. Yeah, so wealth planning here would then focus, on the future of your legacy and catering for your children or your heirs, right? And it can be a complex process, and hence the tendency is to put it off to a later date so that you don't have to deal with the problem right now. That's a bad idea, right? Just think of the things that can go wrong, right? Family conflicts, tax issues, for example, if you hold U.S. stocks, etc. So really, the good news is that all these can be easily overcome, yeah, right, with proper planning. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, if you're not positioned to DIY and do it yourself, then consult an advisor to help you.
Speak to someone. Someone from CIMB will be able to help you, because you also help people with investments, right? Whether it's unit trusts or dual currency investments, structured deposits, even gold accounts, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so a whole range of options for you, listener, if you want to figure out how to make your money work towards long-term growth, you're interested in maximizing your supplementary retiree scheme, you want to find out more about dual currency investments. I must say this is not something that we've touched on this show before, so that would be interesting. Host of people at CIMB ready to help you. Raymond, thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing your insights with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Michelle.
He's Raymond Tan Xiaolung, Head of Wealth Management and Preferred Banking at CIMB Singapore. You might have missed their Insure Expo, but I understand if you go to their website, you put in your details, you will be on the list to find out when the next one happens. Always great to reach out for some advice and help, right? This is Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. Thanks so much for your company.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.